We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back to Amplify, where our guest this evening is Lorraine Bennett. We're talking about a book, The Little Way of Living with Less. Learning to let go with the little flower, with the wisdom that can be drawn from the short life of Saint Thérèse of Lisieux. We began by talking about what it means to grow in virtue, that it's about the very depths of the soul and not material things, and how is it that we're on a continual journey throughout our lives, searching, longing for love, seeking God, and the salvation story is told in each of our lives. And the challenge we're facing is we just buy new things all the time and throw them out when they break or we're tired of them. And it's not about getting rid of stuff she wants us to understand. It's about making room for what really matters, because you can own so much that you don't know what to do with it. And nothing can destroy our most fundamental freedom, and which is the freedom of the soul. And so we have to live in the present moment. It's essential to our interior freedom. And so what would we say about the moment that we're having right now with this interview? She writes, "We are here and now, the present moment, or where we are here and now, the present moment, is precisely where God is. Only the present moment is truly real, and God gives us his grace in the present. When we waste time wishing we were elsewhere, worrying about the future, ruminating over past, or fantasizing about living in a different world, we are in danger of letting his grace pass by. We wind up with only anxiety, envy, resentment, loneliness, sadness, and stress. God's presence in the present moment God's presence in the present moment gives us peace." And that's what we're hoping for this evening in this interview. The only good thing, what does poor in spirit mean for us? What does it mean to be poor in spirit? And what does it mean also to be called to a vocation of love?
Yeah, well, that is a really good question. It's a tough one, too. As St. Thérèse said, she said, "I knew that all is fleeting that we cherish here under the sun. The only good thing is to love God with all one's heart and to stay poor in spirit." And just reflecting on what is poor in spirit, because, okay, it doesn't mean actual poverty. That's not exactly what it is, because you could be actually poor, and you could still maybe not be poor in spirit, depending on your attitude, I think. You could still be, a very grasping and a materialistic person, even though you're poor. So what we want to have is a inner detachment from things, but also from our own will, because that's probably the harder thing to do. I think spiritual writers have said, yeah, you can detach from your things, although I think that's really hard too. And I describe that in the book, because I had things that I was very attached to, and I still have things that I'm attached to. So yeah, that it is hard to do that. But some spiritual writers have said it's even harder to detach from your own will, like your own self. And it's like, why do we want to do that? Well, we focus so much on what I want to do, or what are my plans? What are my goals? What are my desires? I'm focusing always on what I want to do. And, maybe I should be asking God, what is your will? What is God's will for my life? Instead of just, pursuing at every moment what my will is. And in fact, I'd be a lot happier if I yes. focused more on God's will than on my own will.
And you begin this particular chapter talking about COVID-19. Mm-hmm. Is there an important lesson to learn from it?
Yeah. Oh, well, that was there's several lessons to learn from that. But yeah, the fact that so many people were so fearful of dying, and understandably so. And initially, we didn't know really what was going to happen with COVID, and people thought people were dying right and left. Could have been like the Black Plague or something. I don't know. But then it turned out that it wasn't perhaps. I mean, it was very devastating, and many people lost loved ones, and and that is certainly tragic. But there was also the fact that some people got a little bit maybe too fearful, and they were constantly worrying about dying. And I tell the story in there about friends of ours who are a husband and wife doctor team, and they were. People came out, they said, people came out of mass, and this one lady said to the Mr. Doctor, and she goes, oh, I'm so terrified of dying of COVID. And the doctor, Mr. Doctor said, well, you just received Jesus. You're in the state of grace. This is wonderful. You shouldn't be afraid of dying. And she said, oh, she goes, aren't you afraid of dying, doctor? Hmm. And Mrs. Doctor, his wife, she interjects. She goes, well, no, I'm not afraid. I mean, this is a wonderful life that we have here, but imagine heaven. Heaven is much greater. And they told me this story. My husband and I, actually, we were talking to them, and I said, gosh, that is just such a beautiful story and so true. We should be focused on the beauty of heaven, and even though we should also appreciate the beauty of earth, but we should always remember that that's our ultimate goal, and so reflecting on the inevitability of death is actually kind of helpful as a reminder of mm-hmm. what is really truly important in our lives. Like, let's not worry so much about some of these incidental things that we tend to worry about all the time. And that was one of the lessons that I learned from COVID. But I guess there's many, actually.
A place, so. Yeah, a place that's alive, and mm-hmm. I should note that at the beginning of each chapter you have a quote from Scripture, and then one from mm-hmm. Saint Therese, and the quote from here and from her book Story of a Soul. You know, God, that I've never wanted anything but to love you alone. I long for no other glory. Love attracts love. And mine soars up to you, eager to fill the abyss of your love. But it is not even a drop of dew lost in that ocean. To love you as you love me, I must borrow your love. Only then can I have peace. Interesting isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
To love you as you love me, I must borrow your love.
Mm-hmm.
Only then can I have love. And so we talked a little bit earlier that we have a vocation of love, and yet when the quality of life you write is put to the service of higher ideals, serving God and neighbor, strengthening our relationships, love, it can be truly rewarding. How is that? In all of this, we're motivated by noble ideals, mm-hmm. or is it just for show? You raise that question. Is it a fear of being mm-hmm. a minimalist?
Yeah, well, it's like I'm kind of talking a lot about minimalism and trying to detach and declutter and downsize and all that in the book. But truly, it doesn't matter whether we're minimalists or maximalists. So the point, because we could be just as attached to things and attached to our own will either way. I could be, having the perfect minimalist Instagram account, or whatever, and yet be completely puffed up with pride and self-interest and so forth. So that wouldn't be right. The goal is to be more loving and to be more charitable, to be more loving, to be loving of both neighbor and our and God, and to serve him in this life and to be happy with him in the next life. Therese, the quote that you quoted is really amazing, because that it shows just the depths of her humility, really, that she didn't even think she could love God without God's love to raise her up. She described the elevator as, God, the elevator had just been invented, I think, at the time. And so she said, I need an elevator to take me up, to God. And that was, God's grace itself would carry her up to him and to be able to love him the way that she wanted to love him. With the greatness of his love. But it's just, it's kind of mind-boggling, really, how profound she was. And at that age,
yes.
She was 24 when she died. And some of her wisdom is from, she was 14 when she went to, she tells the story of going back to her birthplace, which was another town in France. And all these people, took her out and kind of wined and dined her. I think she was 14 at the time. And she knew right then, she said, this is all these beautiful things, all this lovely stuff and the wining and the dining and the parties and whatever. And she said, I could just too easily see this going badly, and that I would lose sight. She would lose sight of God, of her desire to love God alone. And she knew at that young age that how easily we become enchanted by the world, and that's why she wanted to enter the monastery. But it's the same for us. Each of us in our daily lives, we become very easily enchanted by everything around us, and then we lose sight of what we really should be doing and praying about, and how can we help our neighbors? How can we serve others? How can we be more loving and caring in our lives?
You offer this caution. Is this motivated? What we're doing, is this motivated by noble ideals, or is mm-hmm. it just for show? Without the motivation of truly inspiring goals to strengthen the bonds of love, to serve others, to follow Christ more perfectly, to love God with our whole mind, heart, and soul, and strength, it is likely that we will soon find ourselves frustrated with any decluttering, organizing, or minimizing project. The goal is not to be a minimalist. In the end, it's really not about our possessions at all. It's not about getting them. It's not about renouncing them. This too can be false glitter, to borrow St. Teresa's words. The more difficult thing to do is to renounce your own will and to follow Christ. That's, of course, always the challenge. A place...
Yeah, that's the big challenge.
Yes. Tell us about the tranquility of order. Why is keeping things in order a valuable lesson for families?
Yeah, that is a good question. And I wanted to talk about order because, well, first of all, we have to have the proper priorities. We have to have our own lives ordered properly. And probably before we even try to organize, I mean, we can organize our house, you know, and however we want to do it. But for Christian homes, we want to have the order of our homes reflect the order that we have within our spiritual life, like the fact that God is number one in our lives. So if there's any way that we can show that in our home, then I think that's a great goal to have. So it doesn't mean necessarily that you have lots of, you know, paintings of religious art or whatever, although that's nice. You know, that's wonderful if you can. But it's more that I think our homes should kind of reflect that we are making people welcome in our home. We would open our home to someone who might, you know, like our neighbors, you know, we'd love to invite them over for coffee, especially if maybe they're, you know, having a tough day, or when we have kids, if we have lots of kids, you know, we take care of our kids. We try to treat one another with respect and with love, and everyone is welcomed with generosity and hospitality, and where you serve one another with joy. And so how do we reflect these values? How do we create the order in our home to kind of reflect these values? And I do talk about how it is hard when you have little kids, and, you know, as soon as you pick up one room, you know, the kids come through and, you know, kind of, you know, the toys are everywhere and that sort of thing. We were just over at our grandson's first birthday party today. Oh. And when we walk in and the house is beautiful. It's all decorated for the birthday party, you know, happy birthday, Elias, happy first birthday, you know, and there's balloons and there's, you know, and the place is just beautifully, yeah, you know, it's all clean and tidy and there's food on, you know, on the table. And then pretty soon a whole bunch of people come over, a bunch of kids, our other grandkids, you know, so, and they blow into the house and there's like, boom, it's like an explosion went off and there's like toys are everywhere. All of a sudden, all the kids are playing with toys and, you know, it's everything everywhere, you know. So that happens, you know, stuff happens like that in a busy house, especially where you have a lot of kids and stuff, which is wonderful. But I do talk about how it's great if you can teach kids order and you can teach them to pick up their stuff and put it away. Everything has a place, you know, and organizing experts. And in fact, in the book, I have, there's an actual expert, a professional organizer who has put tips in each chapter. And they usually say you got to have, everything has to have a place its proper place. And so, like, you know, you everybody has that, or we used to, but like everybody has a junk drawer, you know, where they just everything seems to land in this drawer and piles of stuff. But if you actually go through the drawer, everything does have a place. And if it doesn't, you could just throw it out or donate it or something like that. But it's a great thing to teach kids order and how to put things away. And then, you know, it happens. Messy things happen and yes. Stuff happens. But the most important thing is to have a warm and welcoming home. So I'm not saying it's got to be one of these like perfect places, you know, like that would probably be unwelcoming, you know, if it's too perfect where you feel like you can't even sit down and, you know, have a meal or have kids over, then, you know, maybe there's something wrong with that.
Right. You also point out you could get anxious over this, and you're right that there's actually a neuroscientific reason for this anxiety. When the eye mm-hmm. sees clutter around, the mind sees a problem to be solved.
Right.
Where does everything go? Our amygdala immediately goes into fight or flight mode, causing anxiety. But when the space is clear and tidy and contains only the necessary tools, we feel more focused and sharper. Now we can attend to the project or task at hand. And you point out that a hallmark of the little way, about the wisdom of Saint Therese, is that peace enters a soul when completely abandoning itself to the will of God, even mm-hmm. though she made, quote unquote, very little sacrifices, as she put it, and even though she herself was, quote unquote, very little, she had complete confidence in God. And of course, that's what we all need to to attain when, as Pope Benedict said, every home can transform itself into a little church. And mm-hmm. That in a sense that the whole family life based on faith is called to revolve around the singular lordship of Jesus Christ. So we're going to take another break, and then we come back. We'll finish.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
It's the last segment of our program. Welcome back to the final segment of Amplify. We end just a few minutes before the hour. Our guest has been Lorraine Bennett. The little way of living less, learning to let go with a little flower, with the wisdom of Saint Therese. And Lorraine talks about simplicity, writes about simplicity mm-hmm. is usually understood as a quality or thing that is plain, natural, or easy to understand. And if we look at it from the perspective through the eyes of Saint Therese, along with humility, simplicity is a key to the spirituality of the little way. Saint Therese wrote that just as the nature of love is to humble itself, so too does God wish to come into the hearts of the most humble and simple souls. Quote, "Our Lord's love is revealed as perfectly in the most simple soul who resists his grace in nothing as in the most excellent soul. It is to their hearts that God deigns to lower himself. These are the wild flowers whose simplicity attracts him." How then, Lorraine, is simplicity one of the attributes of God?
Yeah, well, that is what theologians say, that all the perfections of the divine nature flow from divine simplicity, and that almost all religions, I guess, have this understanding of God as perfectly simple. And I'm not really sure, because it sounds like kind of a huge concept for me, but in this particular chapter, I do reflect a little bit on what Monsignor Ronald Knox talks about simplicity, yes. And that I understand a little bit better than the concept of God as simple, especially because God is, you know, we think of him as a trinity of persons, so how exactly is that simple? But, you know, that's one of those conundrums, I guess. But Jesus himself, so Father Knox says that he's simple in that in his his entire focus, like he is perfectly integrated in his self. Well, of course he is God, so his will is, you know, completely conformed to the will of the Father, and he was completely integrated and focused on his mission. And heading to the cross, and that's what Father Knox describes, his simplicity in that. And in the same way, the little flower is very simple in that she was 100% focused on doing the will of God and loving him with her whole entire heart, soul, and strength in every moment. And she absolutely did that. But... So, you know, it's like how do we bring that understanding of simplicity? How do we do that in our lives, in our homes? Mm-hmm. And so then I kind of was puzzling over this. And so it's an aspect of being integrated and truthful and transparent in a way, but also focused, singularly focused on the most important thing, which would be Christ. So how do we bring that into our homes? And then it's like, you know, you just have to think about the Amish, who are, you know, the simple
yes.
folk, right?
Right.
And so it's like, what did they do? And, you know, what they would do, so I read, you know, a few books on it, and it's they really took this attitude of attention to detail and to service. So they would be completely focused on if they're baking bread, let's say, you know, they're making that bread, it is going to be done just right. They put all their attention on it. They're working on it in a very humble and simple manner. They're not doing it for show. They're not doing it, you know, to post a picture on Instagram. They're making this bread because they want to serve their family. And so they have this beautiful aspect of simplicity in just like keeping a perfect, very clean kitchen, very, very, open to service, to helping, you know, the family and friends and that sort of thing. And they're focused on God. And I just think it's a lovely way to approach, homemaking, and just everything you do kind of on the day-to-day level. You know, you clean the kitchen, you clean, put the dishes away, and you're not like, oh, you know, this is a horrible task and I hate to do it. Why can't I have a servant, you know, or somebody to
yes.
do it for me? But no, you know, you just throw yourself, they put themselves into it and just focus on whatever task they're doing and do it as best they can.
And so you write, to be simple is also to see things with the eyes of God, to distinguish between what is important, what is essential, and what is not, and to be mm-hmm. unified within ourselves. It is easy to fall into the trap of being overly concerned with appearances and concerned about what others think, especially when we spend so much time on social media, Simplicity requires being truthful with ourselves. Let's move on then a little bit so we can talk a little bit about each part of the book. Ever ancient, ever new. You recommend don't tackle the entire house at once, but begin with one significant spot. Begin by making the best use of what you have, and that our primary goal is love.
Right. And again, I was turning to Saint Therese for this because she writes about the flowers, and she said, you know, if all the flowers were roses, then there wouldn't be the lovely little violets or the delightful simplicity of the daisy, and nature would lose her springtime beauty, she said. In the same way, you know, we don't have to try to make our homes look like Architectural Digest magazine or House Beautiful or whatever it is. We don't have to be striving after some perfect kind of beauty that in some ideal, but rather we can appreciate simple beauties that we can accomplish with what we have. So, you know, a beautiful vase of flowers on the table and a clean kitchen. There's so many ways that we can have the simple beauties, just like St. Therese wrote about the daisies and the little violets. We don't have to have a house that is magnificent, you know, like a castle or whatever. Whatever we have, we can strive to make it beautiful because it's clean and it's orderly and we have some flowers there to lift our spirits, perhaps a nice tablecloth, very simple things that we can do.
And you have that wonderful quote that I've not heard for a while from Gerard Manley Hopkins, the world is charged with the grandeur of God. If only we could see that more.
Oh, yeah.
It would make it easier for us.
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
And sun in the morning is next to the last one. You write, what makes us happy? We often think that our life experiences, the circumstances in which we live, cause us to be happy or not. But researchers have found that even when someone wins the lottery, buys a new house, gets married, or otherwise experiences a serendipitous life event, their overall sense of happiness and satisfaction is only briefly impacted, and then they go back to baseline. It turns out that only about 10% of our emotional well-being is actually due to life circumstances. Our genetics, including our temperament and our thoughts, beliefs, and actions, actually have the most impact on our sense of happiness and contentment. And in short, happiness is an inside job. Say a little bit more then about this particular chapter.
Yes. Well, see, that's the thing that's so fascinating is that we tend to think that if we only had, you know, if we only had a bigger house, or if we only had a better job, or we only had, you know, lived in a different place, or whatever it is, that then we'd be happy. And they've actually shown, researchers have actually shown that doesn't make you any more happy. And so really we have the power within ourselves to be happy. And the antidote to all this, like the frustration, the anxiety, the stress, all these things that we experience in the day-to-day life, the antidote to all that is actually gratitude, which is which is amazing, just because gratitude is so simple. Go back to simplicity there. But
yes.
Gratitude is so simple to practice. We can just say thank you to everybody that we, you know, that does anything for us. You know, my husband takes the garbage out. Thank him for it. Sometimes he does the dishes. It's amazing, you know, or just thank the people in the store when you go to the store and you know, you're just like, instead of just doing a transaction, you give them a good, happy smile and thank them and express your gratitude for all the people that are in your life. And actually, you'll find that you start to become happier the more grateful you are, and which is really incredible. And Saint Therese, of course, that knew this herself, and she wrote about that as well.
And of course, then we live in a world where, you write, with the advent of social media, especially Instagram, and the opportunity it affords to have a glimpse into personal details of other people's homes and lives, a glimpse that could never have happened 20 years ago, we're even more able to make assumptions about other people's lives and to view ourselves as lacking. And compare and despair is a way that it is sometimes described.
Yeah.
But you point out that it's being grateful that makes us happier, isn't it?
Yes. And even, you know, you could... my husband has taken up like writing thank you letters a lot. So that's, in fact, so now we both do it because I think he read, that was one of the research studies actually found people who wrote thank you letters were happier. And so we're writing thank you letters right and left, you know. But yeah, there's so many ways to just, it's so easy just to express that gratitude and be grateful to God for everything. And that is again what Saint Therese was so aware of, that so many graces come. And she in fact wrote that when you are grateful, God gives you even more graces. Like I think she said, he sends 10 more blessings when you express gratitude to God. So she said it was just absolutely fundamental to her little way.
And you believe that daily expressing our gratitude and love toward God can help keep our focus on what truly matters.
Right. Exactly.
And let me read from the book once again. Envy caused Satan to rebel against God.
Mm-hmm.
Cain to murder his brother, and the brothers of Joseph to sell him into slavery. St. Basil the Great, who lived in the 4th century, wrote a famous homily on envy that has wisdom that is highly applicable today. Quote, "Free yourself entirely from the desire for any kind of earthly riches or from esteem to be gained from possessing worldly goods. Ownership of these things is not under your control. Virtue is within your power." Close quote. Sometimes it isn't the comparisons we make with others or envy. It is our own internal critic that keeps pushing us, telling us that we are not good enough, or causing the anxiety that cripples us and steals our joy and our peace. Our inner critic turns negativity, harshness, and self-loathing upon ourselves. Quote, "You will never be successful. You are not worthy. You always fail when you are not lovable," again from St. Basil. And this inner critic can soon take over like weeds in a garden, poisoning our lives and subverting our happiness.
And right.
So there's a lot that we can learn. Let's talk a little bit about our true home and the fact that God delights in the beauty of this world.
Yeah, well, our true home, I guess, is really heaven. And by that, we actually mean being with God with the Trinity and the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the love, because God is love, you know, I guess we can't really imagine exactly what it's going to be like, but he also wants us to begin to experience heaven here on earth. I truly believe that he, as we're journeying toward heaven, we are supposed to be experiencing the love of God in our daily lives in a small way, but maybe, you know, by really contemplating the beauty of God, contemplating the Word of God, or listening, reading Scripture, sometimes imagining ourselves, putting ourselves in the Scripture passages, and allowing our hearts to be filled with the love of God, mm-hmm. We can perhaps begin to experience a little bit of what that will be like once we reach our true home.
And you have these quotes from Psalm 84 at the beginning of this chapter. How lovely is thy mm-hmm. dwelling place, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, yea, faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. And then from St. Therese, I imagine I was born in a country that was covered in thick fog. I never had the experience of contemplating the joyful appearance of nature flooded and transformed by the brilliance of the sun. It is true that from childhood I heard people speak of these marvels, and I know the country I am living in is not really my true fatherland, and there is another I must long for without ceasing. And then you write at the beginning of this chapter, our fascination with things of the world, our sinking so easily into the comforts of materialism, and for settling with appearances, the quote-unquote dictatorship of our desires, our attention to all the glitters, whether material possessions, power, status, or creature comforts, is only countered by the encounter with the living God. And you have a philosopher, Ludwig, is it Wittgenstein? I didn't know him.
Yeah.
He wrote in his diaries, I myself turn my gaze toward worldly things unless, quote unquote, God visits me, and God indeed visits us. I can say that I love working in the yard. And my sister had all kinds of flowers. She had designed perennials and then annuals. And then we let it grow a little wild so the bees and the insects and the others would have a place. So I understand this part of it very much, and I think that's probably the place where I pray the most, other than when I'm praying the office or, of course, saying Mass. But outside becomes a very prayerful place for me.
Oh, I totally agree with that. I feel exactly the same way. And I think that's why, we are supposed to just really appreciate the beauty of nature. And I do see God in nature as well. Yeah, exactly. I feel the same way if either in church or in nature. Yeah.
And the book ends then with 10 lessons of the little way of living with less. And they're going to be my... They're going to be my closing words. The book has been done so well. We haven't had time to chapter by chapter talk about St. Therese and apply to that particular way. And you offer some conclusions, by wrapping things up, cultivating the rose of gratitude, for example. Are we grateful each day for the many blessings we receive for our lives, our families, a safe place to live, water, food, and so on? And we can mm-hmm. understand that now with the hurricane that has devastated the lives right. of so many people. Small gestures of love should not be taken for granted. And so the simple things we can do to support people there prayerfully, and if we have the funds to do it, to assist them, would be wonderful. Our guest has been Lorraine Bennett, talking about her book, The Little Way of Living with Less. Lorraine, thank you so very much for being with us and writing this book. I'm going to be rereading it because I got some big things to do ahead of me. So thank you.
Thank you so much for having me on your show. And it's been just lovely speaking with you.
All right. Thank you. Blessings to you and all your loved ones.
Oh, you too. And good luck with your project.
Thank you. All right. Yeah. Good night.
Good night.
I'd like just to talk about some of the conclusions. Forever an attitude of detachment from things. Set your minds on things that are above, not things that are on God. Be humble. Do I really need all this stuff? Place your trust and complete confidence in God. Don't worry about money or possessions or any other thing. Look at the birds of the air. Are you not more valuable than they? Ask the Holy Spirit for counsel and guidance and wisdom to know the things, what things, attitudes, or creatures you need to let go of. The only good thing is to love God with all one's heart and to stay poor in spirit. Practice the evangelical counsel of poverty. Get rid of excess and give generously to those in need. Keep your heart alive to love. Serve others. Strengthen the bonds of love. Love God with all your mind, heart, and strength. Number 7 is organize your home by ordering everything around the centrality of God in your life. Be honest and simple. Avoid extravagance and all pretense. Make one room beautiful. And then the final and the 10th one, summary of these 10 little ways. Be grateful. Thank God for every blessing and every cross. Express gratitude to your family, friends, and coworkers. Don't forget then how precious life is and how powerful love is. Tell someone now that you love him or her. Pray for peace as if it depended on you alone. Come back next Sunday and amplify with us.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.